This episode's sponsored by Good Ranchers. Most people don't realize this, but over 85% of the grass-fed beef sold in the U.S. is actually imported from overseas. It's a system that often pushes out American farmers and ranchers. That's why it matters to be intentional about where you buy your meat. That's why I choose Good Ranchers. Good Ranchers connects you directly with local American farms and ranches. 100% American meat, pasture-raised, no antibiotics, no added hormones. Delivered straight to your door. Make the switch to better meat. Go to goodranchers.com to start your plan and get premium American meat delivered right to your door. That's goodranchers.com. American meat delivered.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. It's that time of the week. We bring in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. Teron, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Not a whole lot. Hope you're doing well and staying safe. Teron, a big topic of conversation we've had today on the show is the decision the Titans made to franchise tag Derrick Henry. We know the Todd Gurley news that has come out over the last 24 hours or so, released by the Rams, now has since signed with the Atlanta Falcons. It got us, you know, in the discussion of running backs and the value they have in today's NFL. What was your initial reaction when the Titans put the franchise tag on Derrick Henry, and what do you think it could mean for their long-term relationship?
Well, when I found out the tag was placed, it was kind of expected. I really think that they're going to try to get him signed to a deal before the deadline, the July 15th deadline. But you know, that's just my thoughts. I know the Todd Gurley situation, but it's different. Gurley had a knee condition before he signed the deal, so I'm not going to say that that's some type of warning not to sign running backs, because, you know, just the same with Nick Foles getting traded or, you know, some of the other things that have happened, Joe Flacco getting released, no one's saying, hey, that's a reason why you shouldn't sign quarterbacks to a long-term deal. So it's a part of the game.
I'm glad you said that, Teron. I can see myself starting to, like, melt down a little bit over this, because, like, I understand the risk with the running back position, and I understand the shelf life on the position. It's been the shortest for a long time, and we've had a bad run of these guys signing deals, and then for whatever reason, a lot of times it's injury, you know, not fulfilling, you know, those contracts. But like, Derrick Henry is not those guys. Every situation's different, right? And I would flip it around on Todd Gurley. We were talking about this earlier. Why were the Rams in the Super Bowl? Why were the Rams a legit contender? I mean, if you watched them play, it was because they had a great player in the backfield making Jared Goff look like a better player than he is, right?
Yeah, no, 100%, and that's the thing. And I think it was Bucky Brooks, he made an excellent point. It's just so ironic that people are so hesitant to pay these running backs that are making the quarterbacks that are getting these big deals in some cases look even better. You know, I think for what the Titans have, I think Tannehill and Henry, they work off each other. They're just an excellent they complement each other really well. So I'm not going to say Tannehill is a guy that, you know, can only be successful with Henry, but I will say the success that he had, the most success that he had, was with Henry running the ball. And the most success that Henry had was with Tannehill as the quarterback. So that, for me, is why I think it is necessary to pay both guys, because, like you said, it's situational. And in my opinion, I don't break it down to paying a certain position. I break it down to paying playmakers.
Teron, how surprised were you that the Titans traded Jarrell Casey, and what do you think they should do with the money they freed up from getting out from underneath that contract?
I was shocked that they traded him, honestly. I had looked at some of the guys that could have cap relief, you know, if they were cut, and obviously $10 million is a lot. It looks like the Broncos took all $13 million of it. I was shocked. But with that money saved, I thought for sure that they were going to turn around and sign Jadeveon Clowney. That's still to be seen. I understand no one wanting to go upwards of $20 million for him, but I really thought that that's where they were going once they made the deal.
So where would you go for Clowney? What is Jadeveon Clowney worth right now in your mind if you're playing GM?
I think 16 is probably where I would go. 16, 17, that's probably the neighborhood I would go in. I mean, you look, Dante Fowler signed a three-year, $48 million deal. So that's $16 million a year. I think that's reasonable for Clowney. The thing is with him, I mean, he's not going to get you a lot of sacks, but that dude does impact games. And I think that holds value. But, you know, end of the day, teams, they pay for guys to sack quarterbacks. And Clowney only had three. And then the year before, you know, he had nine, and before that, 9.5. So, you know, there's still something to be left for Clowney before you go into paying him over $20 million.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, on the line with us. And, Teron, it just seems like the Vic Beasley signing kind of came out of left field. I'm not sure many Titans fans were expecting that. What did you make of that signing, and what should reasonable expectations for Vic Beasley be this upcoming year?
Yeah, it definitely came out of left field for me. I was very surprised. And some of the people that I talked to, he didn't seem like a match. But I get it, what they did. He's a guy that has talent. You know, his get-off is really good. I remember when Harold Landry was coming out, the comp that I actually gave Landry was Vic Beasley. So, yeah, similar players. I didn't think it would happen because I thought they wanted to get a guy that was heavier. And when I say heavier, I'm not talking about like actual weight-wise. I'm talking about the way he played. And that's why Marcus Golden seemed to make sense, because I felt like he was better against the run, and he's a guy that can set that edge. But I get what they're doing because, you know, again, he has talent, so he's someone that, you know, he has the top 10 pick sticker on him. So coaches are always going to want to work with that. There's talent, so they want to see what they could do to bring that talent to the surface a little more. And I think that's what you have going on. It's a one-year deal, so they're hoping they can motivate him. They're hoping that they could get him to, you know, work off of the four sacks in the final four games that he had.
Do you think, Teron, that guys, like front seven defensive guys in particular, like as time goes on, we'll see more chances taken there just because that's kind of Vrabel's wheelhouse? I was thinking about that the other day. Like, you know, if there's a type of player or a position that he feels good about, you know, bringing along and working with and getting the most out of, it's got to be guys like that, right?
Yeah, for sure, because that's his comfort level. I think that's definitely the case. You know, it's no different than if you have some guys at the station that are better at talking at hockey, about hockey, some that are better talking about football. You're going to go to your comfort zone and excel in what you're comfortable working with. And obviously, as a guy who played in that front seven, he's going to be more comfortable trying to develop and inspire guys that play there.
Teron, now that we know the Titans have lost Jack Conklin, how realistic do you think it is with the money they have available to them that Logan Ryan ends up back here in Nashville next year?
Yeah, I think it's a possibility, and I think that's going to depend on what else they do as far as the edge rusher is concerned. But, yeah, I think it's a possibility. They definitely understand what he brings to the table. I mean, this is the guy that broke the DBs down before every game, you know, gave them words of wisdom and encouragement. He's clearly a leader. He is the leader, or was the leader, of that secondary. So I think it's realistic that he will be back, because they lost a lot of leadership throughout the locker room. So, you know, that does have a tangible value.
Speaking of Conklin, Teron, obviously Dennis Kelly signs right after, you know, news breaks of Conklin signing with Cleveland. You comfortable with Dennis Kelly as the starting right tackle for this team? And how does that look different with him there instead of Conklin?
Yeah, I think that's something that they should be comfortable with, especially at half the price. Obviously, there's a difference as far as the run blocking is concerned, but I don't think there's really a drop-off on pass pro. So, in my opinion, I think it's a good deal for the Titans. I get why they let Conklin move on. And the thing is, when you have Dennis Kelly, there's still a degree of continuity also, because this guy is someone who has been in the trenches with everyone else that is starting on the offensive line. So I think it is definitely a good match for them. It's something that I suggested that they would do if Conklin left. I still wouldn't rule out them drafting a guy at 29. I know they have interest in multiple offensive linemen, but I think it's a good move.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport has been our guest here on Morning Drive. TD, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it as always.
No problem. You guys take it easy.
You too, man. Really going to be interesting to see if that's the route the Titans go at the right tackle position. Are they comfortable sticking with Dennis Kelly as the starter? If so, what do you do as the backup? Like, who do you bring in? I mean, it's going to be kind of an interesting process to see what they go about doing that. We had Floyd Reese on earlier in the week, and he was like, you know, I don't know necessarily if I'd be comfortable with Dennis Kelly as the starter. Now, he's one of the best backup tackles in the league, but to Teron's point, I'm not sure there's a gigantic drop-off in terms of the pass protection. I certainly think Jack Conklin is a much better run blocker than Dennis Kelly is.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's half the price, but it's still a price that, to me, you're paying to someone who's starting for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hefty contract for your backup, for your swing tackle. So I think that number kind of tells you right there what the Titans think. I think the Titans, reading tea leaves, I think the Titans were surprised that Conklin went to Cleveland. I think it would be a mischaracterization to think this was the Titans just, yeah, go ahead, do whatever you want. I think, you know, that he was a priority to try to bring back, but of course at a certain limit, at a certain number. And the market for him did turn out to be less than there were some people throwing stuff around. Charles Robinson talked about that yesterday. You go to the combine and you get fake numbers thrown around on guys.
Yeah.
And so like the Jets, 18 mil for Conklin thrown out there wasn't accurate, but regardless, you know, he's in Cleveland, they've got Dennis Kelly, and I think they're going to give him a real chance here to just be the guy and keep that job.
When we come back, what do we believe the asking price for Jadeveon Clowney should be, and what's the absolute maximum if you're the Titans you'd be comfortable going to get Jadeveon Clowney? We'll talk about that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.